Morning.
Morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to be in the land of the living. And it's also good to be saved. Amen. Amen. We are happy that God is the head of your life as He is mine. It's a great pleasure to be in the midst of people who love the Lord. The evidence that you love Him, you're here. Amen. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the order of some do. And it's good to see God's people here today. Amen. Amen. I was going to, thought about last week what I'd preach, and a sermon crossed my heart and mind. The Lord didn't lead me to preach it, but the title of it is The Danger of Missing Church. The danger of missing church. It's very dangerous not to be in the fellowship with one another, because the devil is so busy and he can infiltrate your thoughts and your activities for throughout your day if you're not in constant fellowship with the saints and the believers. And I believe the Lord knew that we needed one another in order to carry out that great commission. Amen? Amen. And it's important that we all fellowship together, learn together, then go out into the world to bring lost people to our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. I've got a busy couple of weeks ahead of me. I'll be in revival at Clearwater Baptist Church in Jessonia, Arkansas this week. And then in a couple of weeks, I'll be back there at First Baptist at Bryan, I believe, for a four-night revival. I want y'all to pray for me as I minister unto God's people, hopefully that some folks will be saved. Amen. Amen. Hopefully some folks will be saved. And that is my prayer. And that's always the goal. That lost people be saved and Christians be strengthened through the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I won't prolong the time. I just want to say a few things about the work there in Hattiesburg. We are at a point now. We've been in it for 9 years. This is our ninth year. The vision is that God gave me. The vision is that we will have a church that is open to any and everybody. And that means people that are not like myself. The ministry is important in the city of Hattiesburg, and it is important everywhere that the Lord's New Testament churches be open to any and everybody to come and fellowship and worship together. Work together. That's important for God. We might as well get used to it down here, because that's the way it's going to be up yonder.
Amen.
Amen. So Logos is unique in that way, because this is what we set out to do and this is what we're determined to do. We're going to try to reach all of the people for the Lord, no matter where they come from, no matter what race they are, no matter what form of religion that they had. When they come to Logos and want to be a part of that church, they will be a part of the family of God through the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And that is the vision that the Lord has given me. We have a sanctuary that's going to seat about 800 people. It's a huge place, but God needs room to work. Amen? And we're hoping and praying, and we're very confident that God will fill it up with a bouquet of beautiful people. Amen. Beautiful people fellowshipping with one another, loving one another, and carrying out the Great Commission. Like I said, we're in the latter stages of our building project. We're probably in need of about $145,000 to finish. On October the 1st, the city of Hattiesburg is going to build our parking lot. Isn't that something? Isn't that something when the government gets in the Lord's work and want to help? we've been in the building process so long, I guess the city said, well, we're going to have to help them do something. So. But I'm glad that they came in and proposed a parking lot that's going to accommodate 800-seat facility. Huge parking lot, very beautiful. We got the blueprints and all, and they sent it to us and for our approval. We as a church, we voted to approve the parking lot. It's going to be totally maintained by the city. We won't have to pay any electrical bills for the lights. The landscaping will be done also by the city and maintained. Isn't God good? Bible teaches us if we do the Lord's work, the Lord will provide people to help, even though their objective may not be to help further the kingdom, but what they're doing is furthering the kingdom. You know, some people get in and help in a situation, don't even know why they're doing it. And this mayor, this new mayor that we have, he's a good guy, he's a family guy, he's a person that he tells me that he loves the Lord. He's a preacher's kid. He was raised in Meridian, Mississippi, and he said I pass by this church all the time, and the Lord just wanted me to see what I could do to help, and he sold it to the city council. So they are going to come in and do the parking lot. And that takes about $200,000 off the table for us. Amen. God knows what He's doing. You know, and I was sharing with your pastor, I have a good friend named Brother Richard Hamlin. Brother Richard Hamlin came to do a Bible conference in Hattiesburg, where I was in seminary there, Gulf Coast Baptist Institute. He said some profound words that stayed with me till this day. He said, the Lord's churches don't have money problems. The problem is the people that attend the Lord's churches has not released the Lord's money from their pockets. I've never forgotten that. And it is so true. It is so true. God's got it all. Amen. And He uses us to facilitate the kingdom. I want you to pray for us. I want you to get a part. You have been in the past. I do want to say thank you so much. There were some times that I've been through some tough scrapes, and I've called on this church to help, and they have, and y'all have helped. I appreciate that greatly. My wife wanted me to express how much we personally appreciate your help for our personal being and welfare. It's been tough, you know. My wife has a few surgeries, And over the years, I've lost some support of some churches because of the length of the process. But every time I've called on the church to help, you have helped. And I appreciate that. I really and truly do. And also with the church building, I appreciate what you have given over the years to help with the building. As I was telling your pastor this morning, we need partners to finish. We're at the threshold and the devil is busy. Don't think that he's sitting back just going to let this happen. He's busy, but my Lord is busier. Amen. Amen. And the devil is no match for God. He's no match for God. But sometimes he gets in the hearts of God's people. And we lose focus on Jesus. But let's stay focused on Him. Pray for us. Pray that the Lord open a door for you to be a part of the finishing of this unique ministry. And it's not unique because I'm there. It's unique because this is what God wants. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody that has given and prayed and labored with us during this process. Amen. Amen. All right. There is a word from the Lord this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter. Very familiar text, very familiar story. The Lord wanted me to share this with you this morning. And I will say this, whatever the Lord compels you to do, and He's calling on you to do, adhere to the call. adhere to it. Surrender to it.
A lot of us struggle with the call of God. We struggle with surrendering ourselves to Him. But I'm going to ask today that you just let go and let God today. Let Him show you. We don't have to struggle with it. The Lord will show you.
John, the 4th chapter. There'll be one verse I will read for your hearing. It is the 4th verse. And the 4th verse said, "And he must needs go through Samaria." And he must needs go through Samaria. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this time and opportunity to share this, your precious word, with this, your precious people. Lord, I pray that I decrease, that they don't hear nor see me, but they only hear and see you. Lord, we just love you today. We exalt you because you're good. We exalt you, Lord, because you're faithful. And we ask today, Lord, just let our hearts open to your word and let this word minister to us, Lord. We love you. We thank you. In your son Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Usually, at home. Can I act as them at home?
Amen.
At home, before I preach, I sing a hymn. Or something that more, or even a praise song. But I will sing a very familiar praise song that I sung in camp, in the various camps here in Arkansas. And it always warms my heart when I go to different churches and I see young people walk up. I remember you at camp. I remember you singing this song. I remember you preaching this sermon. And the young men who have given their life over to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus to Christ. I remember, you know, hearing the words that God gave you and it administered to my heart. And now I surrendered my life to preaching the gospel. And it just makes me feel so good. The joy of that for a preacher is off the charts. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand. But it's something that I cherish. The praise song is, "Love you, love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, Lord, my soul belongs to you. You've paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, do you ever tell it? My mind, Lord, my soul belongs to you. You've paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you, Lord, I lift you, Lord, and I magnify your name.
That's why my heart is filled with praise. Amen. I want to talk about this morning very, very briefly, as us Baptist preachers like to say, from this subject, how to witness in unlikely places with unlikely people. How to witness in unlikely places to unlikely people. The Great Commission, my brothers and sisters, is a charge for us, the believers, to go out into the world to make disciples of lost folk. That is our job. God has called us, each and every one of us. It's not only the pastor's job to stand in this pulpit, but it is our job also as lay people to go out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is important that we understand that this is an essential in order for the kingdom to grow. In order to build God's kingdom, every hand has to be on deck. Every person has to have their nose to the grindstone. Everyone has to plumb the line. All of us have that yearning in our heart to see lost people saved. Now, if we don't have that yearning, we may have a relationship problem with God. It's important that we as believers have that yearning to see our family members, and yes, our church members, saved. Our people that we work on our jobs with, the people in our community, our neighbors. It is an essential part of the kingdom building of God that we have that desire to see people know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we don't have that turning and that yearning and that desire to see people saved, as I stated, we need to check our relationship with God, because any encounter with Jesus the Christ will cause you to want people to know Him just like you know Him. Amen? Amen. So this morning, my brothers and sisters, this is a very familiar story. It's the woman at the well. Jesus Christ Himself, He had must needs to go to Samaria. We need to have must needs to go into our community. Amen. Regardless of what it looks like or what's going on in the community, there's so much that's going on around America today. There's so much hate. There's so much division. There's a lot of things that are going on around. This should not be in the Lord's churches. Amen. We should be the beacon of hope. We should be the lighthouse on the sea of turmoil. There should be no division in the Lord's churches. There should be no strife. There shouldn't be any of that. When the people of the world are tired of killing one another, are tired of bringing each other down, are tired of the day-to-day grind of living, they're looking for some hope. And that hope is in Jesus the Christ. And that hope is radiated through the Lord's New Testament church. Now, if we can't radiate that hope, we can't draw people for Christ. And that means we are none effect to the kingdom building of God. There's a big fight going on in the world, and we need to stay out of it. Can't side up. You can't posture up. You can't side up. If you side up, people that would come to the Lord wouldn't come to the Lord through you because you're posturing with this side. Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Amen. Amen. It's important that we understand we have must needs to see lost people saved. And in this encounter, Jesus Christ was going to this place, and there were people there that were undesirable of the Jews. The Jews did not like them because it was mixed race of folk. Didn't like them, didn't like this fellowship with them because they thought they were better than them. But Jesus said, "I have must need to go through Samaria." While he was going through during that time of day, he knew that there was going to be a young lady at the well drawing water. See, as Pastor and I was talking about this morning, God already knows. everything that's going on, that's going to happen, and he is not caught off guard or not caught by surprise. So Jesus said, the disciples were like, "Well, Lord, you don't have to go that way. We can go another way. I have must need to go through Samaria because there's somebody that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ." And as I stated earlier, it is our desire to see people saved. The first thing I see in this text, and I want y'all to bear with me and peruse through this text, because the Lord, he wants to show you something, how to witness in unlikely places with unlikely people. There's a way that you can minister to people that are not like you. There are ways to do it, and Jesus Christ himself is showing us how to do it. First of all, you got to be concerned. You got to be concerned. It is my heart's desire. Paul said, "It is my heart's desire that Israel be saved." It is our heart's desire that lost people come to repentance and know Jesus Christ. Jesus was concerned. He had must needs to go to Samaria. He knew that there was a sinful woman there in Samaria that needed to hear from him, that needed to hear the words that he had to say. There's some people in your community that you pass by every day that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unruly folks on the end that drink all night and stay up and keep the music up, you have must needs to go through. Those are the folk that God wants. He already got us. But he don't want any of them to perish and go to hell. God is not slack concerning his promises. He wants all us to be a part of the family, but we have to have must needs to go there. We must be concerned. Jesus was convicted about the lost condition of this woman. He had a very deep feeling and urge about her condition. It's easy to talk about a person going to hell than it is to go minister to them so they won't go to hell. A lot of us talk a good game, but we're not in the game. We're spectators. Gospel of Jesus Christ is not a spectator sport. It's something that you apply yourself. You get in. You work hard. We're not sitting on the sideline watching people perish when we can open our mouths and our hearts and be concerned for the lost. God still convicts us to be concerned about certain people, convicted and caring about them. We need to be concerned. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, once you show people that you're concerned, then you need to start talking to them, having a conversation. Look what Jesus did. Jesus started talking to her about things and got to talking to her about her life and everything. He was friendly toward her. He was compassionate. He made a simple request. He said, "Please give me drink." Here she is dipping water, and Jesus sits up on the well and said, "You know, I'd like some of that water." She's looking around. "You talking to me?" "Yeah, I'm talking to you. We're the only ones out here." "Oh, I know it's custom that, you know, you Jews don't fool with us. And I thought, you know, and this is the time of day, the middle of the day, that we know that the Jews are not around. So we tried to come up and get us some water here. And I didn't mean to interrupt you." He said, "No, I'm here because of you. I have must needs to talk to you. I'm a Samaritan woman. I'm a half-breed. You want to talk to me?" "Yeah. Give me some water." Started a conversation with her. And she was just amazed. It would be amazing to some people that you would even talk about the Lord. You know, some folk don't even know you know the Lord because you hadn't told them. This ain't something that you need to keep to yourself. You need to shout it out on the mountaintop.
and let people know who you are and whose you are. He started a conversation with them. They got to talking, and everything started to fall into place, and she got comfortable with him. In order for you to draw people, they got to get comfortable with you. They got to conversating, and everything was going pretty well, and Jesus was talking to her about problems and everything, and the conversation changed from physical to spiritual. Lord is showing you how to do it. Strike up a conversation about the ball game. You're at the ball game. You're seeing everybody's having a good time, and you got things in common. You're there at the ball game, right? Oh, that's my son out there playing. So, oh, really? That's my son over there playing. Oh, now you're in the right place. Now you change from the physical to the spiritual. Where do you attend church at? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? In 1996, I gave my life to the Lord. This is your testimony time now. If you're saved, you got one. It changed from the physical to the spiritual. Now you got their attention. Now you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you can talk about how I was a wretch undone and how the Lord saved me. And I love that song, Amazing Grace. You know, everybody can't sing that. That song for believers and believers only. I heard Oprah Winfrey say, oh, that's one of my favorite songs. I don't see how. You don't have a profession of faith. You believe in the universe. I believe in who holds the universe.
Amen.
Amen. It's somehow people worship the trees and don't worship the one that make it grow.
The conversation shifted from your physical to the spiritual. Knowing, he said, look, I have water that you will thirst no more. She's intrigued. What do you mean? The testimony. I was lost and I couldn't find my way, and Jesus Christ came into my life, and he imparted his love into me, and my life has changed. I'm not going to hell. I'm free of the bondage of hell, and I'm going to a beautiful place, a prepared place for a prepared people, and I'm excited about it, and I want to share it with you. Now that you got their attention, they're enthusiastic about what you're enthusiastic about. The Lord Jesus is showing us how to witness to unlikely people in unlikely places. Use what you got in order for them to see what you want them to see. Sir, give me a drink of this water. She got interested. Lord have mercy. When you apply the gospel just right, somebody may not say nothing right then, but later on you may get a phone call. You know, I want to talk about that Jesus you were talking about earlier. I was a little ashamed in front of everybody else, but I want to. Can you share some more with it? Now you got their attention. Now you can share. You change from the conversation from physical to spiritual. Now she's excited. She's intrigued about what's going on. And Jesus was about to teach her about salvation, the water of life. He was about to bring her to the place where she realized the need for the water of life. What a pattern for us to follow. She's biting now. She's on the line. Got that pole bit. We got to set the hook. You can't clean a fish until you catch it. Huh? We can visualize him in that cooker. We can visualize him just all battered up and dropped into that cooker and all laid out on the plate and everything. You got your hush puppies and all, your french fries and ooh. But you can't have that until you catch it. Can't bring them in until you catch them. When you catch them, you can scale it. Philea. See, when a person is open to the gospel, you can impart truth. They're willing. They're fertile. Their minds are ready for their heart. They've done caught all kind of hell all their life. Now you telling me that I ain't got to die and go to hell? Where I sign up at? Then once you get their confidence, you can point out their sin. Oh, here we go. A lot of us put the cart before the horse. We want to point folks' sin out before we get their confidence. We have not that authority to do so. You want to run somebody off, talk about what they're doing and what they're like. You know, you're drinking that alcohol, you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver, you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. Running around with these folks, wives and husbands, you know, you're just going to die and go to hell. Dipping that tobacco. Don't catch cancer in the lip and die and go to hell. Now, if you don't have a relationship with that person, you can't tell them that. You talking about somebody shutting down on you? Like you better than them. You're a sinner saved by grace. Had it not been for the grace of God, you wouldn't be who you are. And then you are nothing. You ain't nothing but dirt. All of your righteousness is as filthy rags in his eyesight. Anyway, he had to die for you too. Lord, have mercy. Kind of put things in perspective, don't it? I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been on this battle. You're a sinner saved by grace. Amen. So now, my brothers and sisters, look, he's pointing out a sin. And you can't point out a person's sin unless they have your confidence. Lord's showing us how to do it now. Now, after this Sunday, y'all know how to win people to the Lord. Because the Lord's showing us in this text. He's doing it himself. Pointed out her sin. Go call your husband.
Tell him to come hither.
She answered, I have no husband. And the Lord said, thou have well said. The previous one wasn't your husband. The one you're with now ain't your husband. Now, you can tell a person that when you have their confidence. You can tell a person that that the kind of lifestyle that they're living is going to send them to hell once you have their confidence. But you can't point your finger in their face, snub them before you get their confidence. Jesus himself is showing us in the text how to win the lost. Fifth point. You know, usually three and out, but I'm on my fifth one. Fifth point. He avoided an argument. The worst thing in the world for a Christian to do is argue. Not only with the lost, but with one another. You know, I get so tired of debates about things that has nothing to do with the salvation of your soul. I mean, it's good for talking about. It's like this thing that we have about mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib. People fall out with one another about it. Won't fellowship. Oh, he's a post-tribber. I don't want to have nothing to do with him. My Lord's going to come back and take us up out of here. And when he takes us up out of here, we're going to let somebody else deal with that mess. Well, he's a pre-tribber. He don't want to go through the tribulation period. He don't want to have anything. He don't want to do any work. And he just, you know, I don't have anything to do with him. Folks in the middle of the week, they just messed up. How crazy is that? You know what my Bible says? No man know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. You best be ready. I ain't gonna sit up here and argue with you. I can show you in scripture. Look. I need to get you saved. Lord will tell you when he's coming back. What I'm trying to say is unfruitful arguments will cause you to lose the confidence of the ones that you're trying to win to the Lord. Oh, here's another one. Don't get involved with politics talking to lost people. The Lord don't care. You shouldn't care. Well, I ain't going to witness to those Democrats. All of them going to hell. They believe in them. They believe in abortion. I ain't going to witness to those Republicans. They don't have no heart. They don't love anybody. It has no place in the ministry. How you vote between you and the Lord needs to stay there. I'll tell you something. The biggest divider in our country today is this party affiliation stuff. We need to stay out of that fight. Because our job is to bring souls to the kingdom. If I got preconceived notions about Democrats or Republicans, I can't draw them because I don't want to be around them. Look at Jesus went down there to the Samaritan where the Jews did not want to have anything to do with these folks. And the Lord was showing his disciples how to minister to unlikely people in unlikely places. He avoided the argument. Be courteous, not critical. I've witnessed to some people have some outlandish beliefs. I'm talking about way out there. Funny out there. If you're not careful, you'll laugh in their face. I'm like, in the world, you believe that? But just think about what we believe. Born of a virgin. Got up out of the grave. It's a little fire. But according to the word of God, it's the truth. So that's why I'm courteous with Muslim, Buddhist, all these different types of religion, because it takes faith to believe what I believe. But I believe it with everything in me. So in order for me to draw them, I got to have my priorities right. Y'all, we're about to be through. Avoid the argument. Be courteous. Last and final thing. I love this part of the text. Jesus presented himself as the Messiah. The one we talking about is me. Look what it says, y'all. Verse number 25 said, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus says to her, I'm the one that's speaking to you. You talking to the man. Not the man sitting next to the man. They're sitting next to the man. But I'm the man. She didn't even know who he was. Jesus cleared it up, said, I am he. And upon this came his disciples. Look at the disciples. And they marveled that he was talking to this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou to her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see. Is this not the Christ? This man has told me things about myself that I hadn't even told anybody. Never ever met it. What I'm trying to convey to us this morning, when we are able to get ourselves in a position to where we can talk to people and witness to them, we can tell them about the Messiah. Look at her reaction. She left there running. Somebody know, look, Jesus, I met Jesus. He wasn't like what they said he was. He talked to me. Where are you in your ministries? Where are you in your witness? How can you witness to people? Where can you witness to people? Where's your testimony? Don't offend folks. Just tell them the truth. One of the biggest debates going on now about homosexuality. Where does the church stand? It stands where the Bible says it stands. Where are you as the pastor of the Logos Missionary Baptist? Where do you stand on this issue? I stand with the Lord. Doesn't mean you don't believe in it. That's exactly what that means. I believe it's a sin. Well, you say you can minister. I say, yes, God loves all of us. Loves those homosexuals. I think he has a stronger affection for those people because they're just so mixed up. But I got to be able to befriend them to tell them that. Can't sit on my high horse, look down at my nose. Oh, guess what will happen? It'll hit your family. Yeah, it will. I've learned something about us. The thing that we really are on a high horse about, somehow they end up in our family. Then you got to address it. And if you don't address it according to Scripture, the message that you send will be not received well. Love them. You ain't got to cotton with them. You ain't got to love them like God told you to love them. And watch God move and watch him work. How to witness to people in unlikely places. How to witness to folks that are not like you. Jesus laid it out for us in this text, and I will hope you go home and study this text. Now you got a strategy. You can do it. The Lord showed you how. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this message. We thank you for your people, Lord. We pray that this message don't fall on deaf ears. That you said in your word that your word will not return void. Lord, thank you so much for everything that you are and everything that you do. We love you here today, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings that you have already bestowed on us. Lord, I pray that no one leaves without you. I pray that salvation be made manifest today in the hearts and minds of this people that we have here today. Lord, if there be any that's lost, Lord, I pray that they come forward, give their lives to you. Those that are saved, Lord, I pray that they're strengthened to carry out your great commission. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray.